curated to encourage leaders at all levels to be their best selves and to bring a fresh, curious perspective to today's issues in business and culture. Our goal is to equip listeners with the resources to always move forward.
Welcome to the Always Forward Leadership Podcast. I'm Carla Soans, and I am with Ron Kitchens. Ron, how are you doing today?
I am guardedly awesome.
So I want to talk a little bit more about that because we are definitely living in unprecedented times. I don't think anybody saw this coming, the time that we're in. And we're going to just talk a little bit about how to prepare your team for disruptions, because that feels like the right thing to do in the season that we all are in our leadership right now. So how do you feel like, you know, just given the current climate and the current situation that we're in with COVID-19 and how it's impacting businesses, including our own, what advice do you have for leaders as they start to navigate and really prepare their team for disruption like we never, ever thought we would experience?
So I think it is interesting times. In the Chinese proverb version of interesting times. So I think that, you know, there's a bunch of things that we've got to do well, but, you know, one of those is that, you know, frankly, we've just got to, you know, remember that this is when leaders prove themselves. We were laughing before we started that when I learned to type, and I'm old enough, I learned to type, my grandfather would make me practice typing. And I would have to type, "Now is the time for all good men to come to the aid of their country." And as I said that, I could still, my fingers are moving to do that. And you laughed and said, "Well, that might not, there may not be a more appropriate thing to say right now than that." But it really is true. I just happened on my reading list right now is a book on Winston Churchill that just came out, The Something and Vile, Damned in the Vile or something. And it's about Winston Churchill in his first year of prime minister in the Second World War. He was prime minister multiple times, but this is the first year of the Second World War. And about his leadership style. And the thing that I keep taking away, and I'm about two-thirds through it right now, is constant communications. And a constant mantra of, we can do this, you know, stay calm and carry on. You know, he had, you know, the other line that came out of that early work is, you never have so many people owed so much to so few. And I think as leaders, you know, we have to, you know, remember, you know, the line from the REO Speedwagon song that, you know, always remember to bring everybody together, keep everybody warm, and always remember to just keep riding the storm out. This thing will have an end. We don't know when it is. It's a bit, it reminds me of the Stockdale paradox that says, you know, we have to be positive, but we also have to be honest about where we are. It's the, you know, Admiral Stockdale, it's a paradox that's talked about in the book Good to Great, but Admiral Stockdale was a prisoner of war in Vietnam. And when asked about the people that made it out were those who were realists, who said, we are going to get out of here, but we don't know when, and we can just do what we can do every day. So for us in economic development, in not-for-profits, in church, in small business, we've got to remember that it, as much as we want to think about what happens in a month or 6 weeks or 2 months or 3 months or whenever this all, we get the all clear, when that all clear siren goes off, as much as we want to do that, our real job is to worry about today. Our real job is to worry about the people that we lead, the people in our lives, communicating with them, keeping the ball going forward, keep riding the storm out, making sure that the work that people have to do is important and relevant. You know, in our case, like probably most people who are listening to this, you know, people are working from home. And, you know, I'm at home, you know, you and I never record separately. And this is, I think, in 6 years now, this is the first time you and I have been in two different places where we're recording. But that's what it takes right now. And so, but we're speaking to our team. As a team, we're together 3 days a week on the phone, but they're another 2 days a week with the smaller organizational teams, and we're over communicating and we're talking about important work and we're sharing work together. Now, if this goes on for 6 weeks, it's going to be harder to find those meaningful things. But, you know, I got it in my head that maybe we'll write a book together that we'll assign everybody a chapter. And at the end of the time, we'll end up with 30 chapters of a book. It may not be any good, but, you know, at least we know we'll sell 30 copies because everybody will have to have one for their mother. But, you know, keep communicating, find meaningful work, and remember that we're going to win this one day at a time, but we are going to win this. We are going to come out of it because there's too many people counting on us. And those economic developers out there, there's 330 million people in America counting on you to lead the economy when this is done.
Yeah. And I think it's really powerful to just reinforce that constant communication, but also that realistic and optimistic part of that communication and our responsibility as leaders to be realistic and to be willing to talk about the real realities that we're facing and what this means for businesses, what this means for individuals in the communities that we serve, and what it means for just humanity in general, but also to keep people in as much of a positive mindset as we can. Because if we're going to come out of this and we're going to, you know, rise above this, and when we do that, we need to have people that are able to bounce back, so to speak, and to be able to be creative. And it's really hard to do that if you're in a really negative mindset. So having that constant communication and being really real about it, but at the same time, you know, you said, you know, like we can get through this and we will, just kind of reinforcing that, you know, the nation and as a society, we have been through some things. It's different than what we're going through now, but we've always bounced back. You know, there's been wars, was 9/11, there's been some pretty major things that have happened to our country and to society in general. And globally, we always do bounce back. It just takes some time. So let's talk a little bit about keeping business running as usual. And I know you know, mentioned that our team is working remotely and how we're trying to stay connected. But what are some of your other tips and tricks for companies? You know, we have a team that travels, you know, relatively frequently. So we were a little bit prepared to work remote, but how are you helping other business leaders that you're interfacing with? And what advice do you have for them in order to keep their teams engaged during this time that is a little bit disruptive for business?
Yeah, I think that, you know, it's a great question. It's shocking. I had to travel this past weekend and was coming back from New York City, and it was like a movie of an apocalypse. The streets were empty. Empty cabs were everywhere. You could get a cab. I've never had, you know, that happen. Restaurants were still open, but they were at 50%. So it was really easy to get freaked out. So, but I had to remind myself, you know, I had some friends who live on the West Coast, and they went through the California fires in this past couple of years. And we talk about it, the fear and the anxiety of, you could see smoke, you know, 10 or 15 miles away in some cases, and you knew it was coming your way, but you didn't know if it would get stopped before it got you. And they talk about how the anxiety was just overwhelming. It was soul crushing. And it reminds me that as leaders, this is even harder, because it's invisible. We don't know when it's coming. We don't know who it's going to strike. You know, I think that's what led to some people before saying, well, it's not this big a deal. And it probably isn't as big a deal as some folks are making it out. But the fact that it spreads so fast makes it scary, and it's easy to get overwhelmed by that. But the reality is, business is going to come back. Life is going to come back. We are going to get to go to our churches again. So I think the short term as a leader is, we have to remind people of that and remind people to take care of each other. You know, my family, now I'm lucky. that part of the reason we were in New York was to, we have one daughter, and her company has said, hey, everybody work from home. And so we were able to grab luggage with her and get Kelsey home so she can work from here and is in the next room, actually, you know, on a conference call with her coworkers all over the country. And, but it's to remind us that it may not be business as usual, but the ultimate responsibility of our businesses, our churches, our not-for-profits is to take care of those that we serve. And so figure out ways to do that. You know, restaurants are all closed where we live and most of the places in the country. So get takeout. Those restaurants need to survive. You want a meal that's not at home. So call your favorite restaurant and get takeout from there. It helps them and it helps you have that normalcy in your life. It is planning. Now, we're lucky or fortuitous, or we think far enough ahead that, you know, I've been through economic downturns, environmental downturns, and know that you got to have a playbook. So for us, you know, we've got a playbook in place that not only lets everyone in the organization be able to run the organization, but also empowers everyone to know what's going on. But let's be honest, the scariest thing is people worried about their jobs or pay cuts. And for that, that's not part of our plan. We've got a plan to weather the storm. Now, we may be metaphorically eating macaroni and cheese for a while and cutting back on some things, but people are never the thing to cut back on. It should be your last choice. And I actually heard of a company who I admire, a couple of the employees, who the company announced a pretty significant pay cut. And I reached out to two of those employees and said, hey, if you decide to leave, call me first. I don't know exactly what's going on, but I know great talent when I see it, and I want you to be part of our team. So, you know, just like really rich people get rich in downturns because they have resources that they buy assets with, we as leaders know that our biggest asset is our people. So invest in your people. And, you know, I was joking kind of about us writing a book together, but if this thing goes on more than 3 or 4 weeks at home, we're going to find a big project like that to do together to make sure we're being strategic. Then the other thing is, you know, we're building out calendars for quarters 3 and 4 of the year for the organization that essentially mean that our team is going to have to work 6-day weeks. It's to get everything done. But if our customers stick with us, if we deliver come January 31st, we're going to be just fine. And right now, that's what I got to convey to our team, is we're going to be just fine. We've done everything right. We're going to continue to do it correctly. And in the end, we'll all be safe. We'll be in a warm harbor. We'll take care of each other. And we'll continue to meet our ultimate goals. And that's our belief that the greatest force for change is a job.
Ron, it really strikes me that for a lot of individuals right now, we've talked a lot on this podcast about culture and about the importance of leading with your core values, not only as individuals, but within organizations as well. And I think when we announced that the office was closing and encouraged people to work from home, you could really see the Southwest Michigan First culture come alive. People were, you know, very responsive, very organized, and really thoughtful about, you know, how do we stay engaged as a team and how do we make sure that messages are communicated? And you could see core value after core value, or as we call them, axioms, just shining through. And will you talk to the listening audience a little bit about why those core values and having them and really allowing them to be something that you talk about in times that are really good is so important, so that when you need to like really lean in on them and you need them to really show up in your work, your team is ready?
Yeah, I think that is important. And, you know, one of those that comes to mind for us is, I don't remember what the axiom number is. I think maybe it's 11, that we don't cheat. And when we talk about that, in good times, you think of it as, oh, we don't cheat on our taxes. We don't cheat on our golf score. We don't cheat where we park. Because if people see you as a small cheater, they'll think you're a big cheater. But in crazy times, what that really says is we trust each other. Because before it was announced that, you know, offices were going to be closed and all these meetings, first thing that happened was our kids were all out of school for extended periods. And first it was 3 days, and then it was going to be a week. And the first thing we talked about was, when your teammate is at home, don't assume they're cheating you. Don't assume that, well, they're screwing off. They're using this as an excuse, and I'm carrying the weight of the organization because I'm not at home. Because human nature will let you go to that. Your mind, you know, that black place and black voice in your head will tell you that you're being taken advantage of. But if you remember, in our organization, with the exception of the two longest standing employees, myself and Jill Bland, everybody else on the team was selected by everyone who was on the team previously. So we've all picked each other. So we not only know that we trust each other, we love each other in that agape community love, but we also know that these people all share our same values that we reinforce all of the time. And so by talking about these things and going, oh yeah, these, and that's what makes an axiom, is it works in good times and bad times. So reinforcing who our culture is, reinforcing that we're all CEOs of our own responsibility, which means that just like I'm ultimately responsible for, you know, the bottom line and the top line finances of the organization, everyone else has a scope of responsibility that they're responsible for the bottom and the top line. And so when we said, hey, let's start with our plan of closing the office for 2 weeks and working remotely, people's reaction of thinking of things to be good stewards, I was so amazed at. They thought of things that I wouldn't have ever thought about, like bringing the temperature of the heat in the air in the office down to a minimum standard, a holiday standard. Wouldn't dawn on me. I'd have walked out of the door and just thought, well, somebody worries about that. But they did. Calling the cleaning service and saying, we're not going to be here for 2 weeks. Calling FedEx and UPS saying, hey, here's how we need to do our delivery schedules for things. And all those little teeny things, you know, calling our plant company and saying, we're bringing down our temperatures for 2 weeks. Are there plants that should be removed from the office to make sure that they're not damaged? And how do we make sure that we get you in there to water when we're not going to be there? All of those little things that both save us money, so in a time that we want to be really good stewards, but also say, I'm an owner here and I'm going to treat this organization and our work as that of an owner, not an employee, is, you know, what I think all organizations should strive for. But it also, again, then says, as an owner, I expect to be communicated with as an owner. And so it means a very active plan of communications. And as I said, you know, at 8:05, Monday, Wednesday, Friday, we'll all be on a conference call together. And then twice a week, they're going to meet with their small group teams to talk about how are we advancing the ball? How are we doing meaningful things? You know, and then those that don't have a lot of laptop, we'll call it work, you know, they're on the phone with our customers, with our clients, with our customers, saying, hey, sometimes it's just empathy. You know, if you're a small business person, you need to know somebody gives a damn. But, you know, we've got, you know, we communicate with about 15,000 readers every week on our First and 42 publication. And so it's making sure that we're communicating with them about things that they can do to help and take care of each other. And this is going to be one of those times that, you know, it's like the line from, you know, It's a Wonderful Life. You know, on VE Day, we wept and prayed. On VJ Day, we wept and prayed. Those were celebration days. Those were days. It was victory over Europe, victory over Japan. And we need, wherever you're at in your faith journey, wherever you're at in your spirituality, this is a time that we need to get close to that higher power. For me, it's God. I'm Christian. And this Easter season, it's going to be tough because we're not going to be in church. So we got to find other ways to feed our souls. That's what leaders do, is remind each other, feed your body, feed your soul, gather everybody together, keep everybody warm, and keep riding the storm out.
And Ron, I know that, you know, we have a responsibility to not only the businesses that we serve and the economic development community that we serve, and just the leaders who listen to the podcast and are engaged with our organization in some way. In closing, can you give a little recap of, we've been getting a lot of questions about what this means for the economy and what this means for businesses and what repercussions businesses will likely face throughout the year. Can you give us just a short, you know, 90-second version of what you think some of those repercussions might be, just so leaders can begin to prepare as we close out today's podcast?
Yeah, I think, you know, there's really three of these crises that I've been through in my career. You know, when we saw interest rates skyrocket in the 80s and shut down business, and then it took several years to get interest rates back down and so that business could be as usual. This isn't going to be it. We're at, you know, the lowest interest rates, certainly that I ever know of, you know, and we're not in negative numbers as the Japanese have done, but zero interest rates. So there's plenty of money in the system. It's making sure that our small businesses can access it. Now, the problem is when small businesses hurt, taking on loans don't help them much because they can't cover the loan anyway. So they need trade, not aid. So one of the things that we've got to do is get consumer confidence back up and get people spending money with their neighbors, spending money with small business, making sure that, you know, all that money that you're not going to be spending on the toilet paper that you're hoarding in your basement, you know, you're spending with small businesses and getting them up and running. Then it's going to remain to be seen, is this a 2008 economic crash? Which I don't think it is, because in 2008, the system ran out of money because it was buying inflated financial vehicles, all these mortgages that were cruddy. We don't have that. That system, it hasn't been violated. So what we have is consumer confidence and people's inability to spend money. That's reflective of more 9/11. And so if we go back and look, and I went back and read my journals about that time again too. And I keep in these crisis points, I keep pretty good journals because I want to remember what it feels like. And so when I go back and look at that, if we exclude New York City, which was the apex of the crisis and had physical damage and the deaths and the insanity, if we exclude that marketplace from this discussion, then the rest of the country, it was about 6 weeks. You know, when we saw, you know, car sales stop for about a month, and then the next month, demand picked right back up, and we saw at the end of the year, car sales had rebounded fairly nicely. When we looked at where consumer confidence was, you know, we went into a war that always drains confidence, that takes resources that should have been spent in a local economy and spends them internationally on guns and bombs. We don't have that this time. So assuming that we rebound from this, and I'm assuming we're going to rebound fairly quickly because it appears that if we can just get to warm spring and summer, that the virus doesn't do well in warm conditions. So we're going to see natural decreases. We're going to better understand testing. We get through these things as Americans, as a culture. And when once we get through that, the fundamentals of the economy are still very strong. The demand's there. we've just got to get past that pain point. And sometimes it takes a while to forget that. I don't eat Milk Duds anymore because I was chewing on one at a movie theater, which is the only place I ever bought Milk Duds. And a crown came off and it hurt so bad that I'm not willing to do that again. But I don't think that's what we have here. You know, there's certainly tragedies. There's certainly negative things. But our economic fundamentals are there. They're strong. They're in place. And so now we just need that all clear siren to go off to tell us we're past this. We have to do things differently. We're going to remember this. There's going to be scarring. But ultimately, we're going to come out of this strong and see, I think, a boom in some growth sectors, you know, with GM, Chrysler, and Ford now essentially offering zero interest on vehicles and 3 months with no payment. It's going to sell a lot of vehicles. And zero interest on the typical vehicle is about $3,400 a year saving to the average family. That's a lot of money. And I think we're going to see, certainly those of us that live in auto states, we're going to see economies bounce back strongly.
Well, Ron, thank you so much for your insights today and your authentic conversation and just your, you know, optimism. And as we talked about in the beginning of the podcast, your ability to keep it real yet optimistic. So I look forward to another conversation with you. And if anybody from our listening audience has additional questions for Ron, please reach out to us. We'd love to get answers and be able to share what we know with you all. So have a great day, everyone, and we'll be back soon.
We'll see you next week.
Thanks for joining us. We hope today's conversation inspired you to keep moving forward on your leadership journey. To connect with Ron, you can tweet him at Ron Kitchens or send him a message via ronkitchens.com. If you are listening via iTunes, please leave a review. It really helps us connect to you, grow our impact, and keep moving always forward.